me to go where I used to go before. I don't go there anymore, I found better ways. Oh, don't look for me to say the things I once said before. I don't say them anymore, I found better ways. I found a better way, brighter paths for my feet, for my heart a joy so sweet. I found a better way. And since I found a church, and I found a place to pray, and there I found the Lord, I found a better way. Oh, I found a better way, brighter paths for my feet, for my heart a joy so sweet. I found a better way. And since I found the church, I found a place to pray, and there I found the Lord, I found a better way. Oh, don't look for me to be just like I used to be. There's been a change in me, I found a better way. I might not boast so loud, and I might not walk so proud, but I'm bound for heaven now, I found a better way. Oh, I found a better way, brighter paths for my feet, for my heart a joy so sweet, I found a better way. And since I found the church, I found a place to pray, and now I found the Lord, I found a better way. Oh, found a better way, brighter paths for my feet, for my heart a joy so sweet, I found a better way. And since I found the church, I found a place to pray, and now I found the Lord, I found a better way. Oh, I found a better way, brighter paths for my feet, for my heart a joy so sweet, I found a better way. Since I found the church, and I found a place to pray, and there I found the Lord, I found a better way.
Praise God, praise God. Well, a lot of folks think that we'd really lost out when we got in the church, and maybe a lot of folks did. They might be better off in the world. I was 17 when I made my decision to get right with God. I was senior in high school and had a lot to look forward to, I guess. And one night the Lord offered me something that I thought was a lot better. And I sacrificed a lot of things I'd looked forward to all my life and gave my heart to Jesus. And I can't say tonight by looking over it and assessing it that I regret one minute that I've lived for God. And if... Of course, I hadn't had as many hardships as a lot of folks have, but they say that persecutions kind of make you get closer to God, love Him more. And I don't think that I could complain tonight for what God's done. Hallelujah. I want to read with me tonight from the first chapter of Acts in the 8th verse. I'm a firm believer that the power of God is a changing force in a man's life. Anybody that tells me he's got the Holy Ghost without a change in his life, I doubt very seriously that he could impress me or anybody else, really.
All right.
It's strange that anybody could ever boast of conversion without change. That's what conversion's all about. Got to be changed.
Amen.
Paul said, the things that I would do, I cannot. And the things that I don't want to do, that I didn't want to do, that's the things I like to do now. Something happens to a man. He gets to where he's hard to live with at home. Business associates can't hardly get along with him. And somebody told me, said the old cow knew when they got the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've always kind of had a mania about cats. I never did like a cat. I'd kick a cat all the way across the house. I just couldn't stand one to get up against my leg. I'd just try to kill him if one got close to me. After I got the Holy Ghost, I just decided to back down off kicking the cats. Praise God. I didn't have no whole lot to change over. I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, and didn't do a whole lot of carousing around. I wasn't a gambler, and so I didn't have a whole lot to change. It's funny, sometimes you get the feeling like you hadn't got much to really pray through about. But I want you to know the man that's just lily white and without any problems, he's got just as much to pray through over and sometimes more than the man that knows he's an outlaw. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost will change every one of them. Praise God. I admit that there have been times I wished I was a gangster before I got the Holy Ghost. You get a lot more folks to hear you. I think they like to hear them stories about the gangsters, what they used to do, instead of what God did. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was thinking today, riding down the road, I thought, I'm so glad for Jesus. But what work would Jesus be able to do if there weren't men in sin? And I thought about it, and I said, well, you know what? What I'm really glad for is the change that God makes in a man's life.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's right. Take an old man laying out on an old clay hill under pine trees on a Saturday afternoon in the hot sun with an old plastic milk jug in his hand, about that much of that moonshine left in the bottom of it, and him just stoned out. The police come by and see his old car sitting on the side of the road, nothing but a wreck, no hound, and call the wagon to come and haul the old car in, go out there in the woods and find the old boy and get him and take him to the jail to make him a little bit more money. And he gets out, and they know next Saturday he'll be right back in the same place, and all of a sudden somebody knocks on his door and says, hey, we're from the Pentecostal church. How about coming to church with us? And he said, no, man, I'm not coming. And so when he leaves, he gets to thinking about those young folks that came with that bright smile on their face and that holiness complexion about them, and he thinks about it, and the more he thinks about it, he hears them saying, why don't you come to our church? Next Saturday he gets drunk, and then somebody knocks back on his door again and says, why don't you come to our church? We're just right over here. Next thing you know, one of these nights he tells his wife, said, let's go to church.
Lord,
where are we going to go? You know, everybody wants a little church, but they want much church.
Yeah.
Not many folks are really happy with the way the world's going. That's reason they join up with country club religions, because they just want a little bit of church. They don't want much as we got. When you see a man walk through our doors and down to our altar, you know he means business. Any preacher can bribe somebody into shaking his hand, but it's hard to get a man to come loose from all that junk in the world. Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! I'm going to read the text in a minute. You getting all that on that door?
Hallelujah.
I want to remember what I said. I told Brother Thomas the other night, I said, man, you got all that sophisticated recording equipment. You didn't record one message. I said, you got to remember, I preach by inspiration. Hallelujah! And you folks are wondering if I could preach anything better tonight. No, I couldn't, because I'm so limited that whatever I'm preaching tonight, that's what God gave me. That's all I can preach. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. You get to preach your all time, don't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Praise God. I'm going to have to get this thing in that gear, too, so I can look at you folks over there and preach to y'all a little bit. I'm going to read my text. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's funny how folks start seeking the Lord. I'm not saying this tonight for those of you that are here seeking the Lord, but I've seen a lot of people that told me they were seeking the gift of unknown tongues, and that's usually what they're seeking is the tongues of it. They don't want any of the rest of it. And it's funny how that as soon as they decide that they need the Holy Ghost, they get smarter than all the elders of the Pentecostal movement. They get so bright, God talks to them more than he talks to anybody else. And, of course, we got one fellow down home who's been seeking for 20-something years. He goes to one of our churches down there, and he always thinks that he needs to talk to the preacher, whoever's preaching. He's talked to me sometime for 2 hours after church to tell me why he wasn't getting the Holy Ghost. It always looked like he'd blaming it on me. He was telling my daddy what my daddy's got about it. He don't have any tact at all. I mean, daddy don't know anything about diplomacy. He just says what he feels like saying. And that fellow was sitting in some special meeting down there telling daddy some things. Daddy said, you don't have the Holy Ghost? He said, no, man, I've been seeking God for 20 years. He said, I'll tell you one thing, you're closer to God than I am. He said, what do you mean, brother, son? Daddy said, well, he said, you've been seeking for 20 years and hadn't got the Holy Ghost. He said, I've heard the Holy Ghost 30 years. And God tells you more according to what you say than he tells me.
But I want you to notice the Lord gave the stipulation. This is out of his mouth. He said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I've got a lot more confidence in the man who has gone on to be filled with the Holy Ghost than I have the man who's out there traipsing around here and there looking for the Spirit to come boiling in on him. I really like to see a man get the Holy Ghost before he ever gets those revelations from God. Oh, and Brother Rutledge hadn't talked to me, so if any of you folks got that problem tonight, I guess I'm just meddling a little bit, ain't I? Hallelujah. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth.
Hallelujah.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the scripture said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he hath given us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. And let folks accuse you of being crazy if they want to. But the Lord said, the Bible said, that he gave you the spirit of a sound mind. Hallelujah. And I'd suppose that you're probably more on your rocker than the normal run-of-the-mill man out yonder in the world, because when the Spirit came, he put you on the right course. Hallelujah. And gave you the right mind. Praise God. But I like that power. That's what I preached on last night, wasn't it? Power. Amen. Power with us. Power close to us. But tonight, I'm going to talk about that power in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know what the Holy Ghost can do for you. I've seen it work. Praise God. I know what it can do for a man that'll let the Holy Ghost move through it. It works in a man. It changes a man. And we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. I don't know whether I will or not, but I want you to know the center of everything I preach is Acts 2:38. I still believe the old-time apostolic message. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then the promise comes. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I believe that word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the spirit of power. And you receive the spirit of love. You know, it's wonderful that God could take a man that hates and make him love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Take the bitterness out of a man and cause him to love. I believe that one of the greatest miracles of the Holy Ghost power is the way it makes people love each other.
That's right.
Hallelujah. The world church and the world in itself does not have the love that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has one for another. The world church don't have the love for their preachers that the church of the Lord has for its preachers. And the preachers of the world don't have the love for each other as the preachers of the true church really have, because we have received a spirit, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
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 Well, the Apostle Paul made a statement, Galatians 1:23. He was there talking about this town that they had resisted him at first. He said they didn't know who he was by face, but they had only heard that he which in time past persecuted us now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. They had heard that. You know, that's beautiful. Hallelujah. That's wonderful that somehow God makes such a change in a man that he gets known across town. That old boy used to be so mean and used to fight. He's living for God now. Sometimes I've even been surprised. Yes, sir. Somebody tell me, say, old Dub Walker got the Holy Ghost. I said, no, sir, man, you got the wrong fellow. It can't be the same Dub Walker I knew. He too mean. But the Holy Ghost just comes in. It's absolutely no respecter of person. And there he sits, the meanest fellow in town. And all of a sudden, God begins to deal with his heart and gives him a spirit of love and power and a spirit of a sound mind. Hallelujah. I love the Holy Ghost. I love what it did for me. I love what I'm thinking tonight it could do for everybody in this house that don't have it. Hallelujah. How it can change an adult. How it can change a young person. My Lord, you're talking about changing a man until his old buddies won't even have anything to do with him. Praise God. Kick him out in the street like an old shoe and say, we don't want nothing to do with you. And then the church reaches out and takes a hold of him. And you find that spirit of love has prevailed over every other spirit. And the church loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, they don't know who he was, but they said that he that persecuted the church in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Hallelujah. You know, Saul had received under Cornelius' anarchy, he had received the permission to beat, bind, slay anybody he found calling on the name. Now, you don't have a greater proponent in the Word of God than the Apostle Paul. There was never any backing up in him. When he got to Ephesus and finding certain disciples of John, he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "Well, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." I want you to know something tonight. If the Holy Ghost ever moves in a man, it's going to testify of Jesus. That's what Jesus said in the 15th chapter of St. John. He said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll testify of me." Hallelujah. Any Holy Ghost that talks about any other God is the wrong Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And Paul said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said, "Into what were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." He said, "You folks, if you heard John, you heard him preach, because John did not claim that he was a church builder. And John said that you ought to believe on him that should come after him. That's on Christ Jesus. And he'd baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." Now, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Paul wouldn't back up on Jesus' name, but it took a conversion to change him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It took an encounter with God before he would be changed to preach what he used to destroy. Praise God. Watch him walk down the roads, down the streets, knock on doors. He's up to a house and listen and hear a lady back there praying in Jesus' name, and he just knock the door down and walk in and get her from her prayer place and drag her out in the streets and bind her and take her to prison.
Oh God.
And he could do that to women and children and men.
Right.
And he tried to destroy all of them. He stood right there when they stoned Stephen to death, and I wonder if anything ever penetrated that old stony heart. He was fulfilling the scripture that they'll harm you and kill you thinking that they're doing God's service.
Right.
He was an educated man by the law. He knew it verbatim, friend. He was no ignorant man. When he got out there and God used him, he was no ignorant man. He knew what he was doing, what he was talking about. And one day, with papers in his hand, to beat, bind, slay anybody he found calling on that name, he was going to Damascus. And on that road to Damascus, breathing out threatenings. Ha! Can you imagine a man in his heart feeling so much animosity to a bunch of folks who were only praying and getting closer to God and living better? I'm going to promise you something, that the Holy Ghost will make us pay our bills. Hallelujah. It'll make us love our neighbor. It'll take the fight out of it. Hallelujah. Praise. You believe that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll take the world out of you. I'm telling you. And here he is breathing out threatening. I hate those old Pentecostals. And that's what they were. And I'll guarantee you, don't get me started on that, brother. Oh, mercy, goodness. I just nearly about decided to forget this until tomorrow night and preach about the Pentecostals. I can take you right down the scripture and show you that we preach just exactly what the Apostle Paul was binding and persecuting people for preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, "If I can get to Damascus, I'm going to get old Ananias." He said, "I want to get him." He said, "I'd like to slap his jaws every time I hear him say Jesus." He said, "I'll get him and I'm going to put him in prison. And every time we hear him a praying, we're going to throw hot water on him. Man, we're going to put that fire out in that old boy." Hallelujah. And just about the time he got all those mean old words out of his mouth, the good Lord in his providence, thank God that in our way, while we're doing all kind of meanness, there's a wonderful presence of God that comes to move in our lives. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou? Don't you know it's hard for you to kick against the pricks?" And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. "I'm Jesus." And Saul, who had never asked the question before, who had never wondered what Jesus wanted him to do, he said, "What would thou have me to do, Lord?" You notice how all of a sudden it's changed? tell you, I've seen people come to church and night after night sit there with their heels in their sand and their arms folded up and an old, oh mercy, how in the world can some people frown so much? And oh, good, I don't even know, sir. You know, that bothers me to see folks just sitting there frowning. There's two things I don't want you doing. I don't want you sniggering at me, and I don't want you frowning at me. There's a happy medium somewhere. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Anyway, they come to church and sit there night after night. And you preach and they're sitting back there as if to say, go ahead and waste your throat. Preacher, you ain't touching me none.
That's all right.
Man, we had some folks from the Church of God kept coming to the church at Benton. Just kept on coming. They just got to blending right in. Never asked to be baptized in Jesus' name. I didn't know all about all that. Boy, one night I got up, and I'm telling you, I started preaching. I never even get to my text. I started preaching Jesus' name baptism, and I preached it from stem to stern. I preached everything I knew. And Brother Hicks knew, and the whole bunch. Praise God. I got anything I could remember anybody ever saying about it. I preached it. I just went, wow. I got through that night, and I thought, well, Brother Thomas told me, he said, boy, you don't know it. I said, but some of them folks back there, they're Church of God. The next night, would you believe they didn't show up? I thought, uh-oh. I've ruined it now. And after church, I'd have been nice if the preacher would have told me before church, but after church, he said, you know, Sister So-and-so called Brother David today and asked her about this water baptism in Jesus' name. I said, I wish you'd told me that before church, and I wouldn't have went through church all night feeling like I'd run those folks off. Well, the next night they showed up. And would you believe that I got to preaching that night and the Holy Ghost moved and I started running benches and run benches back there and grabbed a hold of the curtain puller, cord, got to pulling on that thing to the baptistry and looked over in there and screamed, here's water! What doth hinder me to be baptized? And got to preaching like a Pentecostal, I don't know what to say. Praise God, my vocabulary is limited. If you can help me out some. I preached everything I knew that night. I preached till I couldn't hardly say anymore and turned it over to Brother Thomas, just walked out of the pulpit. That was on Saturday night. Sunday, we went to Brother Thomas's house for dinner, and I heard somebody come in the house and ask for Brother Thomas. After a while, I walked into the living room, and there they sat. Brother Thomas had been talking to him about 5 minutes. He said, the Gentrys came over today to tell me that they wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name tonight. And I got thinking, you know, sometimes people can just sit there and sit down on you, literally just sit down on you. They can say, well, I'm this church or I'm that church and you ain't a touching me. Well, that's all right. I want you to know, if God don't want you, I don't either. Hallelujah. But if God wants you, Spirit's able to convict you and make you say, Lord, what wilt thou help me to do? And you may never say it until God gets a hold of your heart, but when he gets a hold of your heart, you'll say it without wanting to. Hallelujah. What wilt thou help me to do, Lord? Then one of them fellas down the road somewhere.
Oh God.
They'd have bypassed him for sure. He'd have got sidetracked right there. They'd have said, well, just all you've got to do, brother, is just shake my hand and make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again and that he's the Son of God? And if Paul would have said, yeah, he'd have been saved.
Oh God.
And in fact, this is the way some of them preaching now, he couldn't have never been lost if he'd wanted to be lost. Hallelujah. But he didn't have them sidetrack him. The Lord said, I hate to put you through such a horrible thing, but I tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go to the street called straight, and it'll be told you there what you ought to do. Praise God. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go to the street called straight. It'll be told you over there what you ought to do. Well, Saul went on to the street called straight. He got stirred up, and he wouldn't eat nothing for 3 days. Laying around praying. And one of those days, the Lord moved over there in the house of Ananias. Said, Ananias, I want you to go over to the street called Straight. I want you to inquire for a certain man named Saul. He said, Lord, we've heard about that man, that he's got a permit to whip us all, beat us all, bind us all, kill us all, do whatever he wants to with us. And the Lord said, he prayeth now. Hallelujah. How'd you ever get him praying? Lord said, I just used a little Holy Ghost on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That works every time. Praise God. I've been so disappointed sometimes in my own ministry. And I thought, oh God, I'm just not reaching the masses. And then I realized it's not my ministry. It's God's. And if the Lord can't do anything with it, why should I really worry about it? Praise God. It's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's work. And the Bible said the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. That's his job. Ananias came walking in the front door, and when he did, the Lord made it rough on Saul. Hallelujah. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to you in the way, has appeared to me also and told me to come over here and lay hands on you that you might receive your healing and the Holy Ghost. And when he laid his hands on him, immediately there fell from his eyes that were scales. And then Paul later on said that Ananias said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Can't you see old Brother Saul out there getting baptized, calling on the name that he was going to beat anybody else who called on that name? And now he's calling on that name, Jesus, Jesus. Praise God. Thank God for that expulsive power of a new affection. You fall in love with something that you didn't used to love, and now you love it more than you love your own life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how to offset these sermons to be preached here, but I'm going to go just a little bit longer. My daddy came in from the field one day. Daddy was an old French harp blower for the choir dancers down in Louisiana, and he didn't have much respect for him, nobody else. On the 4th of July, he got drunk, got in an old tractor tire, and one of my cousins rolled him right down the middle of Main Street. And him rolled up in that old tractor tire, and him 30 years old. Got a family to look after, and there he is out there acting crazy. And did a lot of other things that him or nobody else ever really bragged about. Came in from the field one day, and my mama was stretched across the bed with an open letter on the bed, and she was squalling. My mama could cry like a panther. Just everybody in the country could hear. Wow, she's a hot. He said it like to scared him to death. And he walked in there, and he sat down on the bed, and he said, Rose, what's wrong? And she said, oh, it's my sister, Zelma. He said, what's wrong with Zelma? She said, she got in that trash. And Daddy said, what trash? She said, that holy roller bunch. And he patted her on the back. He said, oh, she'll be all right. She'll probably get out of that junk all right. Everything will work out all right. One day, him and my mama, after all this got settled down, him and my mama, they was down in the field both picking cotton, and Daddy's real bad about pulling the strap off and sitting down on his cotton sack. That's the reason it took us so long to pick a bale of cotton. And him and mama decided to sit down a little while and talk. So he said, you know what? Said, I've been thinking lately, we ought to start going to church. And she said, I've been thinking the same thing. But you know what I told you a while ago? Some people want church, but they don't want too much of it. Just a little bit. Just enough to settle that gnawing in their soul.
Oh, God.
Just enough to That's get them where right. they don't worry anymore.
That's right.
Just go to church on Sunday morning a little bit, once in a while. That's all right. A lot of folks are that way. Well, the Lord had something better for them picked out. So they went to a funeral. They forgot about this deal about going to church, and they went to a funeral. When my dad was just a kid, he had gone to a Holy Roller meeting one time, and he come in way early in the morning, over in the morning, and he slipping through the door, and his mama said, son's that you? He said, yeah. She said, where you been? He said, Holy Roller Church. She said, who preached? He said, everybody preached. He had seen just a little bit of Holy Rollers, and he didn't much about it, but he went to a funeral one day, and the preacher's supposed to have been there at 2 o'clock, and it was still 3 o'clock, and he was in an old Methodist church out in the country, and said about 3 o'clock, he heard a guitar strum outside the door, and the preacher walked through the door and in down the aisle, quoting 23rd Psalm, and his daughter's walking behind him with that guitar playing a song. As he said, as that man walked past him, he said he just felt the hair on the back of his head just kind of stick out. He said, there's something about that man he had never felt in a preacher before in his life. Preached the funeral and said, now I want to tell you folks that we're having a meeting down in the Wayside community, and we'd like to have all you folks to visit with us. And so Daddy had an old flatbed truck. He's just an old center boy, but he told my mama that. He said, we're going to Holy Roller Church tonight. So they got a bunch of folks loaded up on that old truck and went to church, and Daddy sent Mama and all the kids in the house. He laid down in that old flatbed truck to go to sleep. And he did. And he said over in the night, and that preacher got to preaching, he said he felt something. Just woke him up just like somebody had shaken him. He woke up and rolled off of that bed and got out there. And he said something told him, said, you need to get in that church right now and get right. He said before he could stop himself, he was crouching on the side, on the doorsteps on the side. And that door was open. He's in the summertime. He's on, just crouching in that door. And he said, he started right there. He said, God, if you'll turn me loose, if you's talking to me, he said, if you'll turn me loose, if I ever come back, or when I come back to this church, I'll live for you the rest of my life. And he said he just felt that conviction move. And so he went back and got in that truck and hung onto that steering wheel. Mama got in the truck and they started up and took off home. And on the way home, he said, we ain't going back no more. He said, okay. So the next evening, he turned the team loose and come walking in the house. He said, get ready. She said, where are you going? He said, Holy Roller Church. She said, I thought you wasn't going out. Just shut up. We going back tonight. Going back tonight. And that night, he got church and put her on in the house, and he laid down on that old truck bed again, but he couldn't go to sleep. And after a while, they started singing, Oh, sinner, come, lest you seal your sad doom. And he rolled off of that truck bed again. Eased up to that side door to ease into that altar. He said it was just like glass over that door. He couldn't go through. But something got a hold of him, and he started around the front of that church. All his old buddies standing around out there somewhere. His wife inside, and don't forget, his wife just nearly about throwed a fit because his sister-in-law got in that church. What's she going to think now when her husband goes down that aisle? But he don't worry about it. He comes right through that old front door and right down that aisle to the altar. And just as he hit the altar, he heard that blood-curdling scream that my mama was able to give. Hallelujah. And here she come, leaving kids and everybody, friends and foe behind. And she came, and right there beside her old wild husband, she fell down to give her heart to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. One night the Holy Ghost came in. I love to hear my daddy tell us. I've heard him tell it 1,000 times, I reckon. I love to hear him tell it. He said he was standing there, and he said, Lord, if this is really real that these folks testify about, let me feel it so I can shout. He said all of a sudden that Holy Ghost got a hold of him, and he said he only had one pair of breeches, 98-cent breeches and a 49-cent shirt. He said he rolled across that old board floor. They'd been stomping it, and dust had come out. He was sweaty, and he said he rolled across that floor, and it looked like he'd climb the wall, and then he'd fall over and roll back to the other side. And he thought, oh Lord, you've ruined it now, man, you've ruined it now. But he said after a while he got to saying, yes Lord, I know it's real. Yes Lord, I know it's real. Praise God. Praise God. And he said one night he stood there, a preacher just told him, said, if you'll believe God tonight, you'll get the Holy Ghost. God wants to give it to you. He said, as soon as that preacher said, come on, he said, I took off running. He said, the men were bad about coming up on the platform to seek, and he said he just ran up on the platform where he'd been going, and he walked up there, and he was just holding his hands up, and he said, all of a sudden, the hair on the back, and Daddy combs his hair in the pompadour. And I've always, when I was a kid, I could see that hair, that long hair, he combed from the front all the way back. I could see that stuff just sticking out in the back. He said, the hair on the back of my head just stood up. He said, my tongue flopped ends. And I began speaking in a language coming from away down inside I'd never talked in before. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now that may not do nothing for you, but that was my daddy. Hallelujah. And that's the reason I'm here tonight. It's because God took the love of the world out of them folks. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. It's simply because God took the love of the world out and put the love of the church in. One night, they was all having song service or testimony meeting or something. I forget now, but it's something just nobody was preaching. My mom was sitting there holding my brother just older than me. He was about a year old, maybe not even a year old. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost hit her, and she jumped up, and all she caught him by was just his hand. Little old baby, my goodness. And she went spinning around and around, Charles out there on the end of her hand. And she's talking in tongues. Somebody finally got the baby, and she got the Holy Ghost. Talking in tongues as the Spirit give utterance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Daddy's mama was a little old French woman. She chewed back. She's about that tall, little old black woman. She'd been in the altar seeking God, too, after the Holy Roller got a hold of my daddy and mama like it did. And so one day, Daddy looked out. He just lived about a quarter from his daddy or something like that. He called him Papa. He said, I looked up and I saw Papa coming. He said he was jumping over fences and said, here he comes. Said he said, hey, Rose, something's wrong over at Papa's house. And said, Papa come wandering in the front yard. Said, son, come quick. Your mama got the Holy Ghost. He said, how do you know, Daddy? Papa, he said, cause she's out in the yard feeding the ducks. And said, she come back in the house and said, I can't understand nothing she's saying. He said, come quick. And Daddy and Mama and Grandma Posey, they all took off across the field with Papa in the lead, you know. Here they go and got over there. And Grandma Warwick's walking through the house talking in tongues. And the Spirit gives utterance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, needless to say, she threw her tobacco away and loved her Jesus till the day she died. She was 83 years old when she fell in the church house, broke her hip, and wouldn't even go home. They set her on the front seat, and way over after everybody just about ready to go home, Brother Grayson said, Sister Aunt Daisy, do you want to say anything? And she raised her hand and said, I love my Jesus that she had loved for nearly 30 years. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power. The Bible tells you, friend, to be filled with the Spirit. Not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Thank God. Well, time would not permit for me to tell you about March the 6th, 1964, when I put my head in my hands and said, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. And I began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Hallelujah. And since that time, I've had the wonderful privilege of seeing hundreds of others receive the Holy Ghost as I baptize them in Jesus' name, or laying hands on them, or watch them come to the altar to pray and begin to speak with tongues as the Holy Ghost gives utterance. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. If this keeps up, I think I'll shout tomorrow night. I think we're going to have a time in Pine Bluff.
Yes, we are.
If I ever get loose.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory. Praise God. Don't you love that Spirit?
Yeah.
If I wanted the Holy Ghost tonight, I'd just feel like you could just jump over it. That's just the way I feel. Praise God. Praise God. It's everywhere. Is there anybody here that wants the Holy Ghost? Would you just say, Lord, come in. Yes, sir. Don't come in as my personal Savior. That's not what I'm saying. Don't make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Receive ye the Holy Ghost by faith tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you want to come pray tonight? Want to receive the Holy Ghost? I hate to see. How many times have you been to that altar? How many times have you come down there and knelt down and went through that same initial ritual? I'm not discrediting it. I'm not asking you to discard it. But I'm saying somehow there's got to be a direction tonight for you to open up to receive the Spirit. It's free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Touch us, Lord. Create that faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is that the Holy Ghost I'm feeling tonight?
Yes.
Is that the power of God that's here? Is that the power that's able to get everything else out? And all of it in. Don't leave no room for nothing else. Get you in that position where you can love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and leave you no room to love anything else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I hate to leave it just hanging like that. You know what? You can get the Holy Ghost back in that part, back under. That's an addition. It's kind of out of the auditorium, more or less. But the Holy Ghost just is real back there. Brother Jackson, you just jumped up. I guess you felt something. Hallelujah. It's up here. It's all over this house. But the thing about it is I've got to just yield to that spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do you feel that spirit? How many of you want the Holy Ghost? Would you raise your hand? You that want the Holy Ghost, God bless you. Are there others that want the Holy Ghost tonight? Just one brother there that wants the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm going to tell him tonight he can have it by the promise of God. We know Jesus is able. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, brother. Come on. Hallelujah. Just stand right there. I don't know. You know, you're not going to get any closer to it than what it is right here. That's such a good spirit to come down here in tonight, isn't it? Praise God. Is there anybody else that wants the Holy Ghost? You got all the church you want.